This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX for a Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Jen Cease, filling in for Matt Pauley tonight. Man, I really like Matt Pauley's open. That's a nice, like, I'm ready to go play some baseball.
It hypes you up, Jen?
It does hype me up. I mean, the city spotlight has a good one too, but Matt's is pretty cool. Kyle Sixto, you just heard him, is here with me in studio on the controls. Great to have you with us for a show that will be about an hour and 40 minutes. This is because it'll be leading up to SLU Men's Billikens basketball as they take on number 3 seed Arkansas State in the NIT tournament tonight. That game is at 8 p.m. tonight on KMOX, so definitely stay tuned after Sports Open Line, and pregame starts at 7:45. So this hour and 45 minutes, we're going to talk some Cardinal baseball, City SC soccer, and men's college basketball. So let's get to it right away with Cardinals baseball. The MLB regular season schedule is already underway with the Dodgers over the Cubs 4-1. For the Cards, though, it's still 9 days away, taking on the Minnesota Twins at Busch Stadium on March 27th. They tied 4-4 today in its preseason game with the Florida Marlins. Before the game, Cards manager Ali Marmol spent a little bit of time with the press. He talked initially about the importance of having coaching staff that really specializes in player development that is beneficial for the team.
Relatability. It's instant buy-in. Talked about it a decent amount this morning with our front office group. And it's when you have guys that are as relatable and are passionate about pouring into young guys as a John Jay, as a Descalzo. But you add Brownie to that mix as well as a new addition. Like, they're getting instant buy-in. And a lot of that is because of how active they were in the offseason. When you look at the trips that were taken by Brownie to go visit guys in their home turf, you leave those meetings and the players know that you care, and it allows you to hit the ground running when you get to spring, where you can hold them accountable and you can already draw from that well of, hey, they care, but they're still going to be hard on me. And it's allowed us to kind of expedite this development process. But homegrown guys like Jay and Scalzo, like, you put your staff together the same way you put a roster together, man. You want to be able to fill certain gaps, and what they bring to the table, being able to speak to what it looks like to win here is important. And they've done a nice job of instilling those values even in their short time.
Ali also talked about Jose Fermin. Of course, his superpower is making contact, which was what makes him so valuable.
Yeah, you have a guy that just doesn't swing and miss nearly at the rate of the league. That is his superpower, is he finds a way to get the bat on the ball, right? So yesterday you have a situation where you have two outs and you're looking for that contact. We were talking about it in the morning meeting, and then it presented itself in the game where it's like, this is exactly the situations we're talking about, where there's a lot of value in just not swinging and missing. And he took advantage of those opportunities.
Of course, he homered in today's game, so a prescient view from Ali Marmol. That was nice to hear. And last but not least, reliever Nick Anderson has been sent to minor league camp today. Ali talks about his spring. He showed flashes of what he once was back with the Rays.
He did a nice job of showing flashes of what gives him success, is the way I would put it. When you look at when Anderson's good, there's a combination of velo and vert, where he's 94, 95, and he's touching the 18s and 19s with his vertical break, 20s. And that's what makes it tough on a hitter, regardless of righty, lefty.
All right, so that's some Cardinals baseball, but we're not done. We have more Cardinals baseball coming up. We're going to join up with Kevin Wheeler with KMOX Sports, who can talk more Cardinals baseball than I would possibly have questions to ask of him. And then we'll also hear Tom Ackerman's Sunday conversation with John Mozeliak. So let's get to that up next. Stay right here for more on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jen C's here, back with you on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line, filling in for Matt Pauly this evening. We just went to break talking a little bit about Cardinals spring training and their 4-4 tie with the Florida Marlins. Joining me now, Kevin Wheeler of KMOX Sports. Kevin, thanks for joining me. I've never had a chance to talk with you on air. It's so nice to speak with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, Jen and I have never had a chance to do a segment, so I'm glad we get to do it.
Yeah, I only get to hear you either, of course, doing sports and when you're doing the Gas House Gang, which you guys sound like you're having a little too much fun doing.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you put four dorks into a room to talk sports. You get weird.
I have to ask you, before I get to the serious Cardinals questions, what is your favorite thing about doing that? You know, it's a little bit of a different format that if you grew up on KMOX listening, which I did because my dad listened, of course, listened to news and sports. It's a little bit of a different, that podcasty-like format. What's the funnest part for you?
You know, it's getting to do things with all of the guys. You know, Tom and I for years have worked together, right? I mean, so, you know, I was at KMOX for 7 or 8 years in my first run, and now I've been back for 5. And we work opposite schedules. You know, Tom's in the morning. I'm usually in the evening when I was doing Cardinals baseball, or now I'm doing afternoon drive. So we never got to do a lot, especially not hosting, although, you know, it'd be a little bit here and there. And then with Matt Pauly, kind of the same, right? Because Matt came in and took over where I left off on Sports Open Line and covering the Cards. So yeah, we do some segments here and there. You know, I'll join him a little bit on Sports Open Line or whatever. And we just never got that much in depth regularly all the time. And then obviously I've known Bernie forever. You know, we were coworkers at a sports station. He did the morning and I did the midday right after him. So we would have a crossover and we saw each other every day, but we didn't just do whole shows together. So it's really kind of cool to get to take all of these guys, three buddies, who we've all, you know, I've known all of them forever, Matt Less, just, you know, based on the schedule of events, but, and get to do this every day because we've all listened to each other and we've known each other forever, but it's cool to be able to kick things around the way that we do. And we all have a good sense of humor, right? It's fun to be with a group of people where we can argue with each other or pick on each other every once in a while and everybody gets it.
That's great. In fact, I have a story myself. I've produced Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas like way back in the day, but haven't had a chance to really work side by side with everybody. So great to have you here. Of course, switching to serious Cardinals talk, you know, yesterday we had John Roderick on and I also put Kyle Sixta on the air just a little bit. And, you know, talking a little bit about the possibility of a six-man rotation to start the season. And the question that came up, and I'm sure you're already thinking about this, is like, you know, the idea of resting, you know, getting the appropriate amount of rest, which we know is important for all athletes, especially pitchers. But at the same time, are you trading off then repetitions for the more inexperienced or younger players?
Yeah, you know, typically I hate six-man rotation. I hate the idea of it. But again, I'm okay with anything when it's an adaptation to circumstance, right? If it's something that you're forcing, I'm not a fan of it. If it's something that you're looking at and saying, man, this could be helpful because of X, Y, and Z, I'm open to anything in that way, right? Just like the opener in the baseball. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. But I understand that sometimes it's a solution to a short-term problem, and if that's the case, wonderful. So having said that, and Bernie and I talked about this today on Gas House, in this particular case, I think I'd be okay with the idea for a few reasons. I mean, one is you don't have the – you see, my biggest worry about a six-man rotation is anytime you add a sixth person, that's taking away essentially 20% of the work from your best guys, right? So that means fewer starts for Sonny Gray. It means fewer starts for Eric Fetty. And in the end, I don't think that's a good thing when you're trying to win, is to have fewer starts from your best pitchers. That said, you know, Sonny got a little bit of a late start to the spring this year by design because they're trying to manage his workload so that they can keep him from running out of gas at the end of the year. Because you notice, like, late last year, he was a little less than he had been earlier in the year. So the idea is trying to manage this so that he will be at his peak later on and remain at his peak later on is probably the best way to put that. And then you have Eric Fetty, who's only been back from overseas for a year, and he worked a pretty good number of innings last year, so you may want to keep an eye on that. And then you have guys like Matz, who's hurt a lot, and Miklas, who's not been very good for a couple of years. And as you're kind of rolling down this list of things, and Andre Pallante was really in his first year last year making an extensive number of starts, as opposed to a guy that was working in relief at the major league level before that. So you can add it all up and you're like, yeah, you know, combine that with wanting to see more of Michael McGreevy. And I can see how it makes sense where you can manage some workloads in a couple of places, make sure you keep guys healthy, and then also make sure that you're getting enough looks for your young guy to make it worthwhile keeping him. It's not easy. There are a lot of other things you have to manage, and somebody in that group probably has to work out of the bullpen a little bit, at least sometimes. But I'm okay with the idea for this team right now, but I don't want it to be a whole season-long plan. I'd like it to get back to five-man at some point.
Ah, is there a particular point in the season that you would, you know, the season's long, that you would like to see that happen by?
I don't know if it would be specific. It would be more performance-based, right? So if there's somebody in that group that's just not going well, we'll get them out, right?
quick adjustment.
You don't need to replace them, right? But let's say you only do it for 6-7 weeks, 8 weeks, or 2 months. Let's say you do it through May. In that time, you've then essentially saved bullets, right, for somebody like Sonny if you're trying to, you know, keep him from wearing out later in the year. Because he is 34 now. Actually, I think he's in his age 35 season. So you're going to be more careful with that. And he's your best guy, so you need him to be able to pitch well throughout the year. And look, we all know this is kind of a weird year when it comes to expectations. You know, they're not, quote unquote, going for it the way that they normally do. And I'm not going to say reset because they say that all the time. but we know that it's a little bit of a different year. But if you find yourself in contention in September, be nice to know that Sonny Gray is feeling good and is better for the postseason, right? That he's healthy and he's got some gas left in the tank rather than burning him out. So, you know, if I'm looking at it, it's mostly based on performance, but if I had to pick a range, you know, somewhere in early June, I'd like five guys to kind of be the ones you choose to roll with.
We just brought up Sonny Gray, and of course, getting the tip of the cap, so to speak, from John Mozeliak saying he's our guy on opening day. Now that we know that, is there a different player that you might be more curious about when it comes to whether or not they'll be on the opening day roster?
Well, they got a couple of interesting things. I mean, like we've been talking nonstop about center field. You know, last year they didn't get a lot of production out of center field. It was really weak, to be honest. And, you know, you have Michael Ciani, who's a great defender, who was part of the mix last year. You have Lars Nootbaar, who can play there, which I think going to end up being the solution early in the year. And then, obviously, Victor Scott, who is one of the most exciting young players in the organization. I mean, this is a guy that stole 100 bases in the minors, you know, showed the ability to be a good offensive player at times in the minors, but he struggled at the plate last year, both in the big leagues and at AAA. But he showed up this year, and he's doing everything you ask him to do. He's hitting the ball harder. He's playing better defensively. He's doing some simple things better, right? He's always had speed in the outfield, but he's taking better angles. He's getting better jumps. His anticipation is better because he's doing a lot of work with John Jay. And, you know, I'm a big fan of John Jay. I've followed John since he was a freshman in college because he went to Miami and I played at Miami also. So I've always kept up with the program. And John is one of those guys that has been schooled in the best fundamentals since he was even a high school kid. Like, that's just what he's really good at, and he's helping kind of translate that to Victor Scott, to Lars Nootbaar, to Jordan Walker. And you've seen the difference in Scott. So here you have a young guy who is doing everything the team said he needed to do to be a big leaguer, and he may not make the team, which is really interesting. But it all depends to me, on why they choose to send him down. If they're sending him down to play Michael Ciani in center field, it's a pretty big mistake. Ciani is a great guy. He plays hard. He's a great defender, but he just can't hit. And he never did in the minors. He's just never been a guy. It's always been the knock on him. He doesn't have a lot of offensive upside. So if you're going to send Scott down, it really means that you're planning on Nootbaar in center and then Donovan in left, Nolan Gorman at second, and then that opens up DH for Alec Burleson. And I think the root of their concern is wanting to get those at-bats for Burleson and Gorman especially. And if Victor Scott's playing center field, one of those guys is going to have to come out. And I don't think they want to start off that way. I think they want those guys to have some runway early. So it's complicated. That's, to me, the most interesting battle in camp. I think most everything else is kind of settled, except maybe a bullpen spot or two, but I think most of that's kind of settling in now too, because we've seen performance up to this point that would tell you that guys like Chris Roycroft and Kyle Leahy have been very good and very consistent and been good at and been doing everything you've asked them to do. And their only question really is, are they going to commit to a veteran guy like Nick Anderson or let him, because if they don't commit a roster spot to him, he has the ability to become a free agent and go find a better place to play. So, I mean, that's basically it as far as who's making the team and who's going to have an impact on the roster. Really, we're kind of down to those decisions.
All right, last one, I promise, and I'll let you go. I so appreciate your time today. Pedro Páez homered in today's game. What do you think of the split between him and Herrera behind the plate?
Man, this is one of the best questions, because the Cardinals historically have valued defense behind the plate. You know, we just got done watching, I think, one of the two greatest defensive catchers of all time wrap up his career a couple years ago in Yadier Molina. So we got to watch that for so long, right? For 20 years, you had one of the best of all time. And even before that, you had Mike Mussini, who's a great catcher and a Gold Glover in his own right. And not long before that, you have Tom Pagnazzi. You know, and go back even further, Daryl Porter. They've always had really outstanding catchers, even going back to Tim McCarver. For the team in the 60s. They've always valued defense back there, and Páez is the better defensive player. But then you have Ivan Herrera, who's a hitter, and I mean a real one, like a legitimately quality hitter who hits the ball hard, who draws walks, who can hit for power, And they've got to, I think it's a really interesting dilemma that they have to figure out. I think they'll end up splitting pretty close to down the middle early. And then if one guy rolls with it, like if Herrera is just hitting so well you can't take him out, then I think he's going to be in there. But it probably just makes sense, Jen, to play it based on your matchup. So if you're going up against a team that runs a lot, you probably want to play Pajes a little bit. He's a better thrower and does a better job controlling the other team's running game. If you need some offense, if you're in a spot where you're not hitting all that well at a team, well, then you got to play Herrera because he's the better hitter of the two, and it's not really all that close. So I think it'll kind of sort itself out as the season goes along. But early on, I would expect some of that playing of matchups and figuring out what's needed on a given day to win.
Not a bad thing to have a lot of tools in your tool belt to pick from, eh?
No, not especially not at that position. When you have a guy like Herrera, who's a good enough hitter to also maybe get some time at DH, that's a really good sign. And obviously, you know, he's been working on his defense. We'll see if that improves. But that's a pretty good thing to have. And then they've got another guy, not to bore you with too much of my nerdy stuff, but they got a kid who's going to be at AAA this year named Jimmy Crooks, who's a phenomenal catcher, also a good hitter. There's another guy that'll be at AA, and Leo Bernal, who's also really good. Like, they're loaded back there for the coming years. So it's really important, I think, to find out about Herrera and Pajes as much as you can this year.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you joining me, and look forward to another spring training game tomorrow with the St. Louis Cardinals taking on the Washington Nationals again.
All right, good catching up. We'll talk to you soon, Jen.
Thanks a lot. That was Kevin Wheeler with KMOX Sports. More Cardinal baseball to come. We'll listen back to a little bit of the conversation between Tom Ackerman and Sunday morning Sports on a Sunday Morning guest, Cards President of Operations, John Mozeliak. That coming up next here on KMOX. Welcome back on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Jennifer Sees filling in for Matt Pauley. Well, on Sunday morning, KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman had his weekly visit with John Mozeliak, President of Operations for the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's listen back to a little bit of their conversation about spring training as well as opening day outlook.
Let's go to the ballpark now. We're joined by Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, as the Cardinals take on the Marlins this afternoon. Good morning, Mo, and good afternoon here in Florida.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks again for the accommodations, as always. You provide us with a great workspace, and it's been a good ride down here, so we appreciate it.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Yep, absolutely. You have a busy week here coming. Opening day is March 27th. 1 week from today, you will break camp and get ready to head north. Just your overall thoughts on where you are right now. I can tell you, for me, calling the game yesterday was a lot of fun. Offense is fun. The Cardinals put 9 on the board and beat the Blue Jays 9-5.
Yeah, that was nice to watch. With regard to what this week looks like, obviously there's going to be a lot of transition going on in the sense of trying to narrow down our roster and really positioning ourselves for the following week when we open in St. Louis. But in the meantime, we want to, you know, communicate with our players, let them know which direction they're heading, i.e. Memphis or St. Louis. We'll probably make final roster decisions some point next weekend. But in the meantime, we'll start to get people, for logistical purposes, understanding where they're headed. And so there'll be a lot of meetings, a lot of talking, and hopefully over the next 72 hours, a lot of clarity for some people.
Yeah, most recently, the a flurry of moves following Phil Maton. You know, Graceffo optioned, O'Brien moves to minor league camp. You had Munoz as well. A little more clarity, I would imagine, at bullpen after the Maton move?
Yeah, I think everybody can sort of like squint and see where this is headed. So, you know, there's still a few bubble questions or some uncertainty with what exactly we're going to look like. But we're going to allow, you know, this week to play out, and then we'll try to make those decisions by some point next weekend.
And when it comes to the rotation, are you still – at the moment, stretching out Matthew Liberatore, would I be accurate to say that you still have 7 going for a 5-man rotation?
Yeah, that's right. He'll definitely get one more opportunity to stretch out. But clearly it's easier to take that step back than try to have someone that hasn't pitched more than an inning or two to try to get 4 or 5 out of. So trying to ramp these guys up, give us as much flexibility as possible, and you know, fingers crossed, these guys keep throwing the ball well.
McGreevy's had a good camp, gives up the home run to Juan Soto, and then really showed something, didn't he? How he was able to bear down and finish that Mets game strong.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great to see. Obviously, as you pointed out, gave up the solo shot to Soto, which was a very loud home run. he definitely didn't miss it. But yeah, McGreevy has had a really good camp, and it's great to watch.
And then, you know, we've talked bullpen starters, those competitions going on right now. But back to Maton, the point was made by Ollie, and I think you alluded to this as well. This is a move that appears to also be designed to take some pressure off of your young players they develop. So Maton would handle high-leverage situations, whereas, let's say, a Roycroft, if he were to make the team, wouldn't have to do that right away. Would I be accurate in saying that?
Yes, but it's also equally about just, I've always like felt like when you have a strong bullpen, you have someone in there that can help younger guys understand, like, hey, sixth inning, if such and such gets on, you need to start thinking you might have to get up. So it's almost like having that like additional coach in the bullpen, but sometimes having it come from a player, players respond better. So it's just another voice to help these guys understand what daily preparation looks like, what in-game preparation looks like. And then ultimately, when you get that call, how quickly you prepare and how you then adjust into a game-like setting. So, you know, he checks a lot of boxes for us. He is a player or pitcher that I've had interest in over the last couple of years. So I was really glad that we were able to bring him on board, because I do think he'll be a benefit for us.
Appreciate your time as always on the program, and thanks again for all that you do for us as a radio station here down in Jupiter, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
That was John Mozeliak visiting with Tom Ackerman on just this past Sunday. Stay with us. We flip over to MLS soccer, city soccer, in fact, and that's coming up next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Rolling on with Sports Open Line, Jen C's filling in for Matt Pauley. We switch over to soccer now, city soccer. Lori Lindsay, game analyst for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. She's also on NWSL Games, former U.S. women's team, national team midfielder. Lori, thanks for joining me to talk a little bit of soccer.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jen.
Absolutely. Well, I know I got to get to City, but since you also do NWSL, wanted to quick ask a question is, how'd you feel about opening weekend for the NWSL, and what are you most excited about for what's just beginning in their 2025 season?
Yeah, a wild wild opening weekend, to say the least. Well, I was on the Orlando versus Chicago, so we had the biggest score gap, 6-0 in favor of Orlando versus Chicago. So, and then there's a ton of 1-1 ties. So I felt lucky for that. However, going to be a fun season. Really looking forward to seeing if Orlando can go back-to-back with championships.
Yeah, for sure.
It should be fun.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so doing my due diligence and crossing over into City. I was at City practice today. I usually go a couple times a week on the broadcast, our radio broadcast for them, and watch them train. Of course, training is always competitive. Did you get a chance to, I know you've got to preview your game into Philly, but of course in doing so, I'm sure you looked at the Seattle game and their games prior. You know, what strikes you? City's, you know, had three coaches in three seasons, yeah, so to speak, or going into their third season with a change in style that the players are still adjusting to. However, got to give them props. They're undefeated. They're the only MLS team not to be scored on yet. Not a bad deal going into Philly.
Yeah, I would say that is the biggest thing that stood out, and what an incredible start to the season. I know a couple games ago there were questions on like where the goal is going to come from, but obviously that was answered in the Galaxy game with a 3-0 win. And then even though I would say in this past game against Seattle, if Seattle controlled more of the ball, I would just say that, you know, I think the thing that's been fun to watch is the St. Louis team being so stingy defensively and showing that you can get the job done even if you don't have the majority of the possession. And I think that's been the biggest surprise. And I don't know if I'd call it surprise, but biggest change, obviously, in terms of the style, because Bradley Carnell, now the Philadelphia head coach, which is going to be a fun and interesting dynamic come this weekend. They were obviously in the opening year of the club, much more wide open, scored a ton of goals, but also got scored on a ton. So now to see this team be pretty stingy defensively, I think that is going to be a huge aspect going into this game against Philly this weekend.
What are your impressions of two teams right now? I think even though Coach Olaf Melberg says, hey, listen, if we're winning, I don't really care so much about possession. I do think secretly he cares a little bit about possession, that it is only in the 30s or so. But to Bradley Carnell, knowing Coach Carnell from when he was at City, really didn't care as long as the goals were going in. So what does that look like when two teams maybe are used to lower possession? Somebody's got to have the ball.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it is interesting because, I mean, the kind of saying is to control the score, you have to control the game, which is like control the ball. So I would imagine that both these coaches sometimes want to have a little bit more possession as well, particularly St. Louis. But, you know, one of the interesting things for Philadelphia in particular this past weekend is we saw a Nashville team, that's who they played, ended up losing. Philadelphia did 3-1 in that game. And Nashville was just like, they were physical, they were really organized defensively. I also felt like they didn't care to have possession, especially in wrong areas. And they just looked to play direct and they capitalized on it. And I would say that's because this Philadelphia team, one, they'll press you really high and they're really intense about the press. And also they play a high back line where at times they don't look the most comfortable in that. So I would imagine this is something similar to how St. Louis might approach this game. Like, listen, we're not going to try to have the ball in dangerous areas. We're going to be tight defensively, and then we'll look to capitalize on our chances. And obviously, they've been shown to do that. They've been a great free kick this past weekend. But I think the biggest thing, the last thing I'll say about this, is that Philadelphia is going to have like 6 to 7 starters missing because of international break. So that is going to be a huge advantage, given that St. Louis doesn't have that amount. So I think that is something that also they'll look to capitalize on.
I know that Coach Melberg would prefer to be able to work on the break, work less on the break. Do we still have Lori?
Yes.
Oh, great. I heard your phone, so I wasn't sure if you're still there. Would also like to attack in a number of ways. So, of course, he's got defense tightened up, which is great. It probably allowed Ben Lunt to sort of seamlessly slide in for Roman Berkey, which was a big concern going in. That was big news going on in the game. However, I've heard him talk a number of times about wanting to be sure City can score in a number of ways. So, of course, set pieces are great. We know City likes to go on the break, but building up through possession and scoring that way, and I wonder if that's going to be an ability to do against the Philadelphia Union, given the way you're talking about them playing. Maybe the break is going to be the way to go for City.
Yeah, or maybe a bit of a balance. I mean, I think that is the key against the Philadelphia team because of how they want to attack, how they want to defend higher up the field. I think it depends on where St. Louis tries to keep possession. The difficulty is sometimes teams try to build out of the back, and that's where they get themselves in trouble against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So if it's not on, just alleviate pressure, and I would imagine that would be the first look for St. Louis. And then if they can possess higher up the field, that was a tactic that Nashville used, which really worked to their advantage, especially as the game wore on. But yeah, I think the last thing that usually come with teams is the attack. So if you've been working on defending, if you've wanted to make sure that you're compact and tight between the lines and you don't concede, then the variety and different ways that you can score goals is typically the last thing that comes together. So transition on the break, however you want to call it, but then also the ability to keep possession, we might see as the year goes on for St. Louis.
Now, of course, you know, Ben Lunt got a clean sheet. It was so great to see him get in the game, have a solid defense in front of him, get the clean sheet, which was his first. But if you're going into Philadelphia Union, Bradley Carnell's worked with Ben Lunt. And, you know, anytime you've worked with a player, you know strengths and weaknesses. Could the Philadelphia Union be looking to maybe rattle the defense and rattle Ben Lunt, given that, you know, he hasn't had the same number of reps that Roman Berkey has had over the past 2.5 or so seasons?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't think it's something that they're going to say, like, hey, here's a guy that, like, you know, hasn't played a ton of minutes. But I think they are just going to say, listen, let's go after this team. We know they're stingy defensively. We need to get off to a good start. And one of the ways that Philadelphia gains confidence is getting players into the 18-yard box and trying to overload defenses and make them feel uncomfortable. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen Ty Beribo, 6 goals already in 4 games, easy tap-ins, because they do overload the 18-yard box. So I think that's going to be more of the conversations, just the talk about them, because I would imagine Bradley Carnell is going to try to say, hey, listen, yes, this is my former team. I don't want to get emotionally involved in it. We need to take care of business. And we need to stick to our game plan and clean up some things that we didn't quite get right this past weekend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch, considering that we know that the number of touches that opposition teams have had in City's attack defensive third has been quite high, but yep, they've minimized those touches within the box. So it may not be as successful. We never know with Philadelphia Union trying to get in that box. City's been pretty solid trying to keep out those chances. A little bit of luck on our side, of course, but pretty solid at keeping them out of the 18 versus last year.
Yeah, 100%. And I think they should be going in confident that they've gotten clean sheets. And also, this is going to be a heavily rotated Philadelphia team that with players that are going to try to prove themselves, wanting to get into that starting 11 with so many starters missing.
Lori, thanks for your time tonight. Looking forward to hearing you on the call on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV from Philly.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. That was Lori Lindsay. She's a game analyst, one of many great ones on MLS Season Pass. You can catch her on Apple TV as City look to take on the Philadelphia Union at their home stadium on home turf. And, of course, against former coach Bradley Carnell on Saturday. That will be March 22nd. Pre-game is at 6 o'clock on Y98, with the game starting at 6:30, as it's an East Coast game. So that's our number one. It's been a busy hour. Thanks to all of our guests for appearing, especially Kevin Wheeler helping me out with Cardinals baseball. Always enjoy talking with any Apple analyst. Lori Lindsay was my first time chatting with her, so that was great. We're not done, though. We're going to continue the City SC conversation at the start of next hour and then switch over to men's college basketball as we head into the SLU Billikens in their first game of the NIT tournament. More to come. Stay with us for hour number two of the Graybar Sports Open Line Raft right after news here on KMOX.